Moncrief on News Talk.
You know, the worst part is everybody keeps asking me what happened. I don't know what happened. We were normal, and then the next thing I know, he's with her, and I'm packing up and moving into the dead hockey coach's house.
How did the hockey coach die?
I think he killed himself because his father was focusing on the wrong part of the story.
That was Rooster. It's on tonight at 10 p.m. on Sky One, or you can stream it on Now TV. James Dempsey joins us once again. Afternoon, James.
Afternoon, Sean.
Is this Steve Carell doing what he does best?
I think it's fair to say, yeah, right. So Steve Carell obviously broke through in The Office. It has become this juggernaut of American sitcom. I mean, it's still viewed constantly on streaming. It's perennially popular. It seems to have like won over. It has achieved the impossible. It has united every single person in the US across whatever political divide they have. And then he went off into the wilderness for a few years and cut his chops as a dramatic actor, and in fairness, earned an Academy Award nomination here and there, but like has been playing much more serious roles since then, and has sort of now began to dip his feet back into comedy. And it just seems like a more natural fit to him, because really, I found this a very charming and nice reintroduction to him as a comedic actor. So he plays Greg Russo, who is a writer of, my biggest criticism actually of the show is of a very poorly defined series of novels starring a character named Rooster that are supposed to be airplane, you know, potboilers that people pick up. But when you hear sort of extracts from them, I'm not quite sure what exactly they're supposed to be. But anyway, he is touring a university where his daughter is an academic and her marriage is in decline. So he sort of opts to stick around in the university and lend some emotional weight and support to her. Now, she's played by Charlie Clive, who is a British stand-up comedian who's probably best known for her Edinburgh Fringe breakthrough show called Brittany, which was about a benign brain tumor that she had and named after Britney Spears. And here she plays, you know, a perfectly accented American daughter of Steve Carell. And really the most charming thing about the whole show is the interactions between the pair of them. She's, you know, as much of an emotional mess as him. He's a kind of bumbling fool going around making mistakes. But I found it all to be very, very charming stuff.
Yeah. Is there a mammy?
Is there a mammy? Well, yeah. There is a mammy. She's played by Connie Britton. But we don't see her in the opening episode anyway. But we do know that she left her husband, as in she left Steve Carell's character, 25 years previously at the same university. So there is stuff to be unpacked there, I have no doubt, in the future.
All right. So it's a kind of an element of history repeating itself. And so is the storyline of each episode just the daughter dealing with marital breakdown, or is there more to it than that?
There's more to it than that, right? So his character, Greg Russo, even though he is a very, very successful writer, he never went to university himself. So now that he gets this role as writer in residence at this college, he begins to sort of befriend guys in the local fraternity and sort of find his own roots as a college man well into his 50s. So there's a sort of midlife crisis element going along with his supporting of his daughter.
Ah, right. Okay. So he gets a job there. That's his hook for kind of hanging around. Okay. How many episodes in this?
So I think you're looking at about 10, and it is half an hour each, my absolute favorite thing of all time. It all comes from Bill Lawrence, who is the creator of Scrubs, Shrinking, Ted Lasso. So if you like that kind of, you know, comedy, broad comedy with a sentimental theme running through it, then it'll be right up that alley.
Okay. And Danielle Deadweiler, who do they play?
Yeah, so Danielle Deadweiler plays Dylan. Danielle Deadweiler is she's a poetry lecturer academic in the university in the English department, with whom Greg has a spark, let's say, in the opening episode, and much to be followed through. But her career is very interesting. She was like strongly considered to have been in the running for an Oscar nomination a couple of years ago, and sort of just lost out through various shenanigans in the voting stage right at the very beginning. But she is going to be a big star, because she's just been cast in Ryan Coogler, who's the director of Sinners, and he would be hotly tipped for winning an award or two next Sunday night. She's been cast in his reboot of The X-Files. So she'll be playing not the Gillian Anderson character, but one of the two you know, one of the two, either the eccentric UFO lover or the cynic doctor, but she'll be one of the two in the new rebooted version of the X-Files.
Yeah, that'll be very interesting to see. Right, our next show is called Handcuffed, Last Pair Standing. It's running on Mondays and Tuesdays at 9 p.m. on Channel 4. Here's a clip.
You're obviously from a world where you seem to think it's appropriate to, like, make sexual jokes to strangers and stuff. I don't find that appropriate. I think it's really crossing a boundary.
I thought you were having a laugh, but not all right with you.
I just didn't expect to be put with someone like you.
Well, who did you expect to be put with? So the gist is these are people who are diametrically opposed to each other, but they're literally handcuffed to each other.
They are literally handcuffed to each other for everything. So, like, to quote exactly, well, obviously it's all done under the guise of a quote-unquote social experiment. They never really go into great details about the outcomes of these experiments. And it is led by Jonathan Ross, who begins each episode by asking whether a divided Britain can settle its differences by watching people on the complete opposite end of the political spectrum take a shower together, essentially, right? So they get the pairs get set up in the first episode. They get handcuffed together, and then there's £100,000 available for whichever one of the pairs lasts the longest. And in this first two episodes we've seen, and who we heard in the clip there, we had Joe and Ruben. She is, to quote herself, a lesbian plus-sized autistic fashion designer, and he is a manosphere fitness influencer. And needless to say, I'm not quite sure why she was surprised that they were paired together, given the premise of the entire show. But needless to say, I don't think this will count as a spoiler, they don't manage to go the distance and claim the £100,000. The other people you have are sort of like a right-wing baronet, a former prison guard. You have a cleaner and a business owner, a hairdresser. Well, these two don't sound like they'll be quite as sparky in terms of disagreements if I condense them to merely a hairdresser and a mum of seven. But my God, that mum of seven does not stop talking ever. So you can understand why the hairdresser is getting a bit annoyed with her. And then basically the last episode that we've seen, combined a woman who is a little prudish with a man who makes adult content for subscription sites on the internet. And all in, the thing that is perhaps most bizarre is that they are handcuffed together. They can request a longer chain for the connection if one of them needs to use the toilet.
That was the first thing that occurred to me. These have to watch each other poo. That's appalling.
They have to remain chained together, but they have some sort of distance between them, so they can at least be on the other side of a door, but the door has to remain partially open. But it is only for that purposes. If they are showering, the normal handcuffs apply when they're sleeping together, well, sleeping in a bed, the normal handcuffs apply when they're eating, etc. So it is an endurance test for both the audience and for the participants, because obviously they have picked people here who are known, like people who have already appeared in other shows, people who are influencers in their own right so that they come with an audience packed in, people who are designed to grate off each other completely and utterly. And obviously this is supposed to be a spectacle for the viewer, but actually what you're watching is at times some very awkward, very uncomfortable arguments between people who are unbending and unwilling to give even an inch in their arguments. Whether or not you agree with them is entirely up to you. But as a viewer, it's not an enjoyable process. Like, it's not, you know, it's not like, it's not sort of gossip that I'm watching about people. It sort of feels like it's punching down at times. And as a viewer, I found it very uncomfortable and unpleasant. All in, I just thought it was like another example of let's just throw arguments on the screen and hope for the best, but really not achieving an awful lot.
Yeah, and is there kind of a set amount of time that they're aiming for? Like, they have to be together for 7 days or something like that?
It's literally whoever can last the longest. So we've been introduced to about half of the pairs at this point. They're still, you know, it's still very early days in the competition. So some have faltered already. Some are still going. We have to meet the remaining pairs this week, today and tomorrow, and then see simply how long it can last. But there are only six parts. There's only six episodes in total. I think we can infer from that no couple is probably still chained together at this point.
Yeah. And Jonathan Ross is hosting it. Does he have much to do with what's going on?
So Jonathan Ross sort of works as the kind of narrator, but obviously the whole point is to have the sparks flying between the two participants. he chains them together right at the very beginning. I mean, he applies the handcuffs and that's sort of it. Other than that, I'm not quite sure what attracted him to this because, you know, he's coming off the back of, obviously, he's got his very successful chat show for years and years, and he's off the back of The Traitors, the Celebrity Traitors, where he was, you know, very well received for his duplicity. So I'm not quite sure what exactly attracted him to this beyond probably $100,000.
Yeah.
In his own pocket, that didn't require him being handcuffed to anyone. But yeah, it seems like a bit of a misfire for him.
And when the couples are together, and you know they're required to obviously live in the same place, is it a neutral venue or is it one or the other, or how does that work?
Yeah, so they start in one of their houses, and then they relocate to one of their other houses, and then the show will move them around to other places to try and, I suppose, genuinely create conflict so that they will, you know, part ways. And the way they part ways, of course, is extremely dramatic. They have to go find somewhere left by the producers of the show a, you know, an emergency, like, fire alarm type glass box that you break the glass and very dramatically turn the key to remove the handcuff.
And is it like, is it usually the case that one of them wants to end this but the other one doesn't?
Yes, it is always the case so far, because obviously, you know, who wouldn't want $100,000? But some people are willing to go further and be more patient than others in order to claim it.
Sounds appalling. Right, our final show is Young Sherlock. You can stream the entire first season now on Amazon Prime Video. Here's a clip.
They say that it's the unconscious desire of every thief to be caught, that it's the fear of incarceration that gives freedom its currency.
The fundamental fault of man is to think the enemy is external, not internal. Prison is in here, not out there.
Get you with your art of war. James Moriarty.
There you go. That's a Young Sherlock. So is this like a mystery of the week type job, or is it one mystery over a long period?
It is one mystery over the longest period I have endured over the weekend. Yeah, so this is 8-hour-ish long parts. It comes from Peter Harness, who's a writer. He's probably best known for Wallander, which was, you know, a British version of a Scandi drama starring Kenneth Branagh, and Guy Ritchie, who made two very successful Sherlock Holmes movies in the early kind of 2010s. And then it's loosely based on Andrew Lane's Young Sherlock Holmes series of books, which are obviously inspired by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's series as well. But he was himself inspired by a series of young James Bond novels. And I actually noticed that this is made by MGM and by Amazon, who now have the rights to James Bond as well. So I wouldn't be too surprised if we see a young James Bond series in the pipeline. They could learn an awful lot from this. So who we heard in the clip there were Hero Finds Tiffin. He plays young Sherlock. He is the nephew of Rafe and Joseph. And Joseph here plays his father in the show, Silas Holmes. And then Irish actor Donald Finn. And he's got a very interesting career because he was recast. He was recast on The Wheel of Time right when The Wheel of Time was getting good, and he certainly held it on there. But he is also, he's an Irish actor who went to London and, you know, studied in Lambda, and then has been on the West End, you know, in major musicals. So he has the chops and he has the voice, and he's able to do pretty much turn his hand at anything. Now, we do not get, you know, Holmes's normal sidekick here. Instead, we get James Moriarty, the villain of the overall Holmes experience. And it's all about how they became friends and then how they fell out. And the mystery involves a Chinese princess, Holmes's mother, Holmes's late sister, and an awful lot of moving around to parts of Europe, pretending to be other parts of Europe. All in, I found it intolerably long, as in the single mystery runs across 8 episodes. And to stretch any mystery out into 8 episodes means red herrings here and there, adding things to it here and there. Colin Firth is in the first half of the season, and I'm not sure what his agent promised him, because he gets to do very, very, very little and then isn't in the back half. So all in, I found the whole thing to be very strange. Now, I did have to admit, at times, find it compellingly boring. Like, as in, it was just sort of on in the background and things were happening and I didn't have to give it my full focus because it wasn't demanding it. But as a single show, it is perhaps a best showcase for Donald Finn, the Irish actor, as a developing character actor. He's great with accents. His comedic timing is good. He has a big Irish head on him, but that means he's set for a career in character parts rather perhaps than leading man. But we're going to be seeing a lot more of him, because next weekend he'll be in the other the other Bennett girl, the adaptation of the ripoff of Pride and Prejudice. So he's certainly carving out a niche career in the sort of spin-off of materials that are out of copyright. But if it's keeping him in, in work, no harm.
No harm at all. And I see that Natasha McElhone's in it and Simon Delaney. So there's a lot of Irish people in this.
Definitely, yeah. I actually went to look and see if it had been filmed in Ireland specifically, but it was filmed in England, in Spain, and Spain. But yes, there is a lot of Irish flavour in there.
Right, those three shows are Rooster, that's on tonight at 10 p.m. on Sky One, or you can stream it on Now TV. Handcuffed, Last Pair Standing, that's on Mondays and Tuesdays at 9 p.m. on Channel 4. And Young Sherlock, you can stream the entire first season now on Amazon Prime Video. James Dempsey, thanks a million.
Thank you.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.